Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I'll be reading verses 1 through 16. Romans 6, 1 through 16. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We who died to sin, how shall we any longer live therein? Or are ye ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried therefore with Him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away, that so we should no longer be in bondage to sin, for he that hath died is justified from sin. But if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death no more hath dominion over Him. For the death that He died unto sin once, but the life that He liveth unto God. Even so reckon ye also yourselves to be death unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey the lusts thereof, neither present your members unto sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves unto God as alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? That's Romans 6, verses 1 through 16.
So good to see everyone this morning. And I appreciate James reading that lengthy reading. But in that lengthy reading, the concentration is mostly going to be on verse 16. But we always like to have more than just one verse in our reading. So I appreciate that reading. I also appreciate those who are visiting with us. There are about a few out there that are visiting with us, some all the way from Prescott, Arizona. They came here to visit with Mickey and maybe possibly hear Mickey, but I warned them this morning that Mickey's out of pocket and they're going to have to put up with me this morning. But I do hope and pray that every time I come up here that I myself learn something, but I hope that something that I say, if you remember one thing from the lesson that's brought to you this morning, if you walk away from here and you remember one thing and it sticks in your mind and sticks in your heart, I feel like I've accomplished something. But most of all, I hope and pray that what I speak and what I say is truly the Word of God. And if it's not, I appreciate any of you to come to me and point that out to me, because I want to do what's right. And I question Bruce about leading that song. It won't be very long. What are you trying to say, Bruce? But I hope and pray that you will learn something this morning as I have learned in my studies. So the question is, we have to ask ourselves, how do we know what our priorities are? If you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew 19. In Matthew 19, we read of the young man or the young rich ruler. In verse 16, that's what this is about. Jesus is talking to this young man. And he says, and someone came to him and said, Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life? And he said to him, Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good, but if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. Then he said to him, Which ones? And Jesus said, You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, the young man said to him, All these things I have kept. What am I still lacking? Jesus said to him, If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. In verse 22, but when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. This young man would have probably have said that spiritual concerns were his highest priority. But when he was told to sell what he had, what do we see that he did? He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. But what he may have said about his values indicated one thing, but his actions indicated another. That's what they call the difference between espoused values and values in action, as we read in Romans 6 and verse 16. And even James talks about, show me your faith. I will show you my faith by my works. By my works. What he may have said about his values, wrong line, if we're not constantly careful, our list of priorities can become disordered. And at such times, when we are honest enough to face that truth, it cannot be an easy thing to do. So we need to understand that our priorities can become disordered. Are we honest enough to face those and say them and make the changes? When asked what is the most important, we tend to answer in the terms of what we know should be most important. But the Lord does not judge what our priorities are by our ideals or our intentions. He looks at our practice. If we're not constantly careful to list our priorities, they can become disordered. So that makes me think about Barnabas in Acts chapter 11. When he came to Antioch, he says that he saw the grace of God. Did he just see their intentions? Did he see their espoused values? What did he see? Did he not see their actions? Did he not see that they were doing things that were righteous? He saw what their practice was. They were putting into practice what the grace of God had taught them. And we too, we need to put in practice to show what truly our priorities are. In Romans 6, in verse 16, as I said, know ye not that to whom ye present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Before it's too late to make changes, we need to ask ourselves some questions about what our priorities really are. And one of those first questions I'd like to ask is, what would others say our priorities truly are? There's that practice, like Barnabas in Acts chapter 11. What did he see? What do people see in us in our priorities? Others may not know us as well as we know ourselves, but they are often more objective about what they do know. We may tell ourselves, this is our priority. This is my priority. But in practice, when the others see that, they say their priorities are different than what they say they are. They're more objective. They can see what our objectives truly are by our actions. What would our neighbors or our co-workers say we are really about? What would they say about our priorities? More than anybody, our children are able to tell what matters most to us in the rough and tumble of daily living. And it makes me think, how many of us here, most of us here, our children are grown out of the house. But when they were growing up, did they ever come into your bedroom on Sunday morning and look at you and say, Mom and Dad, are we going to church today? If they did, what does that say about your priorities? Does that not say a lot what the children are seeing in you? If they come to you, are we going this morning? If that question even has to be asked, there's something wrong with our priorities. That should never be, brethren. And I hope that it never has happened. One thing I do know as far as myself, my children grew up, they never asked that because they knew we were going. But one thing I can admit that I failed in is that they didn't ask me every evening, are we reading from the Bible? On a personal note, I know it's sometimes that I failed in doing that with my children. Do they do that with us? Do they ask us, are we reading from God's Word tonight? They should be, if they're not, because that says something about our priorities. If they're not asking us, that's one question. If they don't ask us, what does that say about our priorities? Again, so if our children ask us, are we going to services this morning? Where's your priorities? That's something to really long and think about hard. So, are we going to church today? That's a question that we have to answer. But our next question is, What do we think about? Our true priorities are the things that are presently on our mind that are drawn to when our minds usually are just kind of in neutral, so to speak, when activities and obligations don't require us to be thinking about anything in particular. So then we start to think about the true priorities. And it is said, one person said that what the heart likes best, the mind studies most. What do we like best? What do we like most? Is it not true that the things that we like the most are the things that we were going to do? The things that we were going to put, possibly, hopefully not, in front of God? Sometimes we let that happen to us, and that cannot be good. The person who finds that he meditates on God only when he forces himself to do so is kidding himself when he says the spiritual life is his overriding concern. So we are not really being honest with ourselves if we only meditate on God when we force ourselves to. And then we say, God is our overriding concern. The Lord is my overriding concern. Well, when do you meditate on Him? When I find time, or when I force myself. Well, that's not right. We shouldn't be that way. In Psalms chapter 1, in verse 2, the writer says, "But his delight is in the law of Jehovah, and on his law doth he meditate day and night." Do we meditate day and night? Is God our overriding concern, or our spiritual life our overriding concern? If it is, then we would meditate day and night, as the writer in Psalms points out. Well, how about, what do we talk about? Our conversations rise out of the things, most of the time, that are on our minds. Isn't that right? Is that not right? And if we have to admit, we rarely talk about the Lord, except in connection with church services, that ought to tell us something. When we're not in church services, do we talk about the Lord? Or is it only when we're around the right people? We look at Peter. When Peter was told by the Lord, "You're going to deny me three times," and he denied it. He said, "I will not. I will stand by you I will stand by you, Lord, no matter what." Who was he with at that time when he said that? He was with other disciples. Other people of like mind. He was of other disciples. Same faith. They also believed in God or believed in the Lord. But when he got out of that environment and got into the courtyard and they started saying, "Hey, you're one of them," and started pointing fingers at him, what happened? What happened? So we see that maybe sometimes our priorities leave us because of the company we keep. We start to talk about the Lord, and maybe quickly those conversations change as we go on. So what are our priorities? Our conversations out of the things of our minds. We have to admit that we really talk about the Lord, except when we're at church. That ought to tell us something. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34. Jesus says, actually, let's start at verse 33. "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruits. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak shall give an account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." By our words, it will tell people what our priorities are. By our words, will tell us how much meditation we do for God. So we can see here that by our words, and by not only our words, but by our actions. That says a lot. When people, do our neighbors tell us or ask us the questions, "Where do you go every Sunday morning?" They see us get in our car, drive away and leave. My wife and I are best friends for almost a year. We left, walked in and out of our apartment, and they live right across the way. And one day they came to us and asked us where we go every Sunday morning. So we had the opportunity to invite them and to teach them, and they eventually became Christians. So we can see that by our actions and what people see, what our true priorities are, can be a good thing. It can lead to somebody else's salvation. Even if we talk about spiritual things, if our conversation gravitates more naturally and enthusiastically towards other things, then there's serious doubt whether our ultimate priorities are really spiritual priorities. So that raises a question too. So how do we spend our discretionary time? Anybody who has much spare time as hardly anybody has as much spare time as he would like. But all of us have some, and the way we spend it displays what our priorities are. There are families, for example, that will plan vacations by traveling, or who will vacation by traveling to gospel meetings in distant states because their priorities are right. Which brings to mind how many of us, when we plan our vacation, we plan to be in certain spots where we know. Let's say we're planning to go, my wife and I, we came from Texas. Let's say we're planning to go back to Texas, and we're traveling through Prescott, for example. Are we going to make sure that we're there on that first day of the week so that we can worship with the brethren in Prescott? Or are we just going to fly by the seat of our pants and hope that the city we stop in on the first day of the week happens to have a church there? But the question is, do we know if it's institutional? Do we know if it teaches the truth? There are some churches of Christ that use musical instruments. Do we know that they do that or not? What research have we done on that particular church? Because if we do stop, we want to make sure we do the right thing by worshiping with a church that practices and follows God's Word. That's important. So how many of us do plan our vacations? And these some folks plan their vacations to go to gospel meetings. What about our gospel meeting? It's right around the corner. Not very far. Dan Richardson is going to be here. Have we planned for that week to not have anything else scheduled? Are we planning to be here? Are we planning to be back tonight? What's our priorities? How do we spend our time? But then on the other hand, there are folks who complain all their working lives about not having enough time to do the Lord's work, and then spend virtually all of their retirement years in personal leisure with less time devoted to the Lord than before. And that can happen. We can complain that we don't have enough time, but then when we're retired, all of our time is spent in leisure, and we forget about the Lord. James says in James 4 and verse 14, that your life is just a vapor. Let's turn there and read the whole thing. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, beginning at verse 14, says, "Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while, and then it vanishes away." So that should tell us, brethren, that if we understand that our life is just a vapor, we can't wait till the retirement years to start putting our priorities in the right place because we don't have enough time now. We should have our priorities in place that other things should take second place to the things that we give to our Lord and Savior. Our priorities should be that way. And because why? Because as James says, our life is just a vapor. Because who knows, even at retirement, how much longer will we be here? We need to have our priorities right. Our time, our use of our time that is ours to do with as we deem is best is fair indication whether we are telling the truth when we say we love the Lord more than anything else. How we spend our time is an indication how much we truly love the Lord. And in First John chapter 3, he says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither with the tongue, but in deed and in truth." Practice what we say. We say we love God, but yet do we sit home Sunday morning and our children come to our bedside and say, "Are we going tomorrow? Are we going this morning?" We say we love God. That question shouldn't even be there, and we should be up and being, getting ready to be with God on the first day of the week. In fact, and we can refer back to Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, as we pointed out earlier. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, back in our reading. In verse 16, it says, "Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting to righteousness?" Is our priority to be obedient, which would result in our righteousness? I hope that it is. So how do we spend our discretionary money? If you would, turn over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We read here of Paul writing to the brethren at Corinth and referring to the churches of Macedonia who gave to help the saints that were in Jerusalem. He says in chapter 8 and verse 1, "Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints." We see that these here in Macedonia may not have had a lot of money, but their desire was to give to the saints that were in need. So much so that Paul says that they begged us so that they could participate in this. What does that tell you about their priorities? Could they not have spent that money on other things? They could have. Well, let's just say that, for example, Chris or Richard comes to me and says, "Hey, Dave, I recommend this reference book that should help you with your studies of the scriptures. It's helped me a lot, and I think it would be good for you to have. And it only costs $30." Or maybe they might say, "Hey, I have this periodical website that would help you grow spiritually. I use it, and it's really good. They have some good things on there, and for $20 a year, it would help you grow spiritually." But then I said to them, "Well, I can't afford it. $30 is too much, and $20 a year is too much for me to spend." But yet, let's say Chris over there, he knows that sometimes I spend at least that much on sporting events or recreational activities. Not just activities, and maybe that it was not even unusual for me in a single evening to spend that much in a restaurant. That we would not object to spending that much on decorative home furnishings. So you can, you know, put in whatever you set, whatever you want. What would that tell Chris or Richard about me? Could anyone take seriously our claim that the Lord is our uppermost concern? If I've been offered or told about a way to grow spiritually, and then yet I say I can't afford it, but I spend sports tickets, football games, restaurants, home decorations, does that not say a lot about me and my priorities as far as my money's concerned? My money is more important to me for sporting events. I'd rather spend it there. I'd rather spend it on a good meal. What does that say about our priorities with our money? So we too, with our money, can show where our true priorities are. But what else can we do? What gives when we face a conflict of priorities? Perhaps no conflict annoys us more than scheduling conflicts, unable to be two places at the same time. We often have to sacrifice something. For example, in sports, for example, again, when a conflict arises with the services of the church, we make a statement about our priorities. Well, you know what next week is. I think maybe most of the guys do. Some of the women might. Next week is the big day, the big Super Bowl. You're football fans, so that's going to like step right in the priorities, isn't it? What are we going to put first? There's a conflict there. Do I watch the game or do I go meditate to God? Do I go worship God? Do you think that if you told somebody that, "Oh, I stayed home to watch the Super Bowl," that would say a lot about your priority? I think that it would. I recall one time years back, my sister, she came to me and asked me to borrow my Ben Roethlisberger. I'm a Steeler fan, so the quarterback, Ben, I can say his name, Roethlisberger, number 7. She wanted to borrow my T-shirt, and I said, sure. Later on, I found out the reason she wanted to buy it, because at that time, she was member of the denomination, the Baptist denomination. She's now a Christian and worships at Waller Church of Christ in Texas. But at that time, they had what they called Super Bowl Sunday, where they all went with their favorite jerseys, their favorite team, and for services, they didn't worship God, they watched the Super Bowl. So afterwards, when I heard this, I looked at my sister and I said, I'm disappointed. And she said, why? Because you asked to borrow my jersey because I felt that maybe you were going to work with it, you were going to a party. But you went to worship God and you watched the Super Bowl. Is that what God wants us to do? If I had known that, I wouldn't have loaned you my jersey. Because that's the wrong thought. That's the wrong priority. Their thoughts are in the wrong place. The thoughts should have been about God. So we need to think about that, at least especially coming up in the next week. We need to think long and hard. What are we going to do? I think that's why they used to say God invented VCRs, but now it's DVRs. So that we could record it. So there's a way to get out of missing the game. You may not just turn the radio off when you go home so you don't hear the score, so you get to watch the game. But there's ways to still worship God and still enjoy the pleasures of sports. But when priorities collide, we learn the most about ourselves and the values and whether the Lord reigns within us or not. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, Paul said, for Demas forsook me, having loved this present world, and went to Thessalonica. So Demas loved this world more and left Paul and forsook him. So in conclusion, let's ask ourselves, how then do I know, in all honesty, what my priorities are? What are your priorities? Well, one way we can tell is by looking at what I am, in fact, doing with my life. Look at Romans 6 and verse 16. That's the crutch of this matter. Are we doing right with my life? Look at what I am and, in fact, doing with my life. At least one thing is clear. I can't give the first and best of myself in pursuit of the American dream and still turn around and say, the Lord is my first love. You can't do it, brethren. You just can't do it. In 1 John 2 and verse 15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I can't go all out for one thing and then truthfully claim another is more important. I can't go all out for the Steelers and then turn around and say, the Lord is more important. I would be kidding myself. In Matthew 6, in verse 24, Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, for either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. We cannot serve God and mammon. Where my priorities are, there will be my energy and my enthusiasm also. In Matthew 5 and in verse 8, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And God is asking us wholeheartedly commitment and the willingness to put Him first in everything. That's what Jesus said. You shall love the God, your Father, with all your heart, all your might, and all your soul. Putting Him first. No second place. Putting Him first. So my question to all of us this morning as we conclude, do you know where your priorities are? Where are we going to be after services today? Are we going to be back this evening? Do we plan to be here in February when Dan is here holding a gospel meeting for us, Dan Richardson? Is that our plan? Or do we plan to be here just for Sunday and maybe Wednesday? But the rest of the days, I got too many things going on. Now's the time to maybe schedule those for another time. We see it coming. Let's put forth the effort and do that. So do you know where your priorities are? I hope that we do. I hope that each and every one of us know where our priorities are. And that should be to God and His Son, our Lord and Savior. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, where's your priority? You've heard the Word. You know what it says. You know what it says, that you must have faith, you must believe, and that you need to confess that faith and repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Arise and walk in newness of life. Those are the steps that God wants. Putting God first requires that. If you're here and you need to do that, why not do that now? Now's a good time. It's priority. Make it priority one. If you are a child of God and you are here, maybe you haven't had the priorities in right order and you need to make those right. We're here for you. We can pray for you. And we can help you. Or maybe you're subject, maybe you need to come and ask for the prayers of the brethren for something else. But now's the time to do that. Make that a priority. Won't you come forward as we stand and sing?